B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to another week in Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. Also, you can find us online everywhere. We're on Twitter, we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook and Instagram at Nerd Radio 101. I'm your host, Chuck Bean, joined by the always active and exciting Al Beck.
Yes.
And the little less active and exciting James.
Whoa! Holy cow, guys, I'm so excited for the show!
Thank you. Thank you guys for playing along. I absolutely appreciate it, even if my ears do not.
Sorry, everybody listening to this.
That was pretty
amazing. To this with headphones on.
Yeah.
I think you could bring up the energy a little bit, James.
No, that was all he had. Yeah. That was it for the morning.
I burned the last little bit of fuel I just had with that exciting intro.
We have him rushed to the hospital now to treat the aneurysm.
We do have quite a bit of...
Can't feel the left side of my body, guys.
Uh-oh. That's no good.
It's gone tingly.
We do have quite a bit of nerd stuff to talk about. Of course, the Video Game Awards are coming up Thursday. So as we are recording this, it is Wednesday. As you're hearing this as a podcast, it is Friday. So they have already happened, which puts us in that weird spot.
Yeah.
It happens.
We make predictions and people will be like, what the hell, you dummies?
Yeah.
That game already
won, stupid. It's the biggest upset in video game award history.
That one award, guys, was so surprising.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe that game won the...
Insert game here.
That would be pretty funny if you did that, but it's not even your voice. Yeah. Like, it's just like the announcer from the Video Game Awards.
Yeah, I just...
Assassin's Creed, Valhalla!
I just take his audio down. Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Assassin's Creed, Valhalla! Yeah.
Won that whole category?
Also, people in the Twitch chat saying that Cyberpunk 2077 is out as of today. And some people, very excited for that. Other people, not as excited for
it. Are you able to play it right now? I thought it's not available till like 7 o'clock tonight or something. Or is that 7 o'clock yesterday night?
I think it was. It might have been yesterday night.
Okay. I thought it was tonight.
Yeah. I'm not sure because the game that I'm excited to tell you guys about is Kate Bishop has been released for... Avengers.
Oh, she's there.
As of yesterday. Huh? Yeah, I was on Reddit yesterday and saw people talking about the update was there, and it was, you could download it and play it, so I quickly texted Amy. I was like, hey, turn the PlayStation on and make sure it downloads.
Yeah, let that update go.
So I can get home and the update will be there. And
save you an hour of waiting time.
Yep, and I stayed up super late last night playing they say it's about, you've got about 3 hours of content in this update.
And you stretched it into six.
No, I did not.
Okay.
But I didn't get through all of it. I played it for about 2 hours and had a blast.
That's cool.
Started off having to go and find her character, and then you can play as her character after it.
Very familiar with what we've had to do in most of the game. You got to track down these old Avengers.
Yeah.
Then you find them, and then you play their character.
Right. They added her to the splash screen at the beginning that would have all the Avengers standing there.
Okay.
So she's on that, which is pretty cool. And they added her to the loading screen where they like...
So
like
when you have the different Avengers that you've unlocked?
They slowly show, like Hulk goes... Ah.
Okay.
All that stuff. Yeah, so there's a Kate Bishop loading screen in there as well. She's voiced by Ashley Birch and written fantastically and is very snarky and very fun. She's a character that's going to be a little bit weird to get used to in the way that, like, I'm not very good at playing Black Widow.
Okay.
Because she's a little bit strange to play as far as how her power set works.
I'm just distracted by Black Widow's ass every time I play it. Well, like, my goodness.
That's
hello.
Fair.
That's a badunk-a-dunk.
That's how I feel about doing the podcast with James.
Yeah, well,
you're distracted by his ass?
Mm.
That's why we had to move Al over there on the other side of the room.
Exactly. So he wouldn't have to.
There's no direct line of sight.
I got to use the monitor. I get to hide my ass behind the monitor. It's like the sensor bar.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You do have to, you know, each character has a challenge card that you have daily and then weekly challenges, like, you know, do this power so many times.
Oh, each character has one of those?
Yeah, has their own challenge card.
I'm way behind on my chores then.
That allow you to unlock different skins and...
Oh, whatever, those little nameplate things?
Yeah, nameplate, thank you. She does have her own nameplate, and the only thing you will have to pay for is the challenge card. The challenge card is, I think it's 1,000 credits out of the in-game currency, which if you haven't spent any of your credits yet, then you have 1,000 credits like I did, and I was like, okay, sure.
Oh, I should have 1,000
then. I can do that.
So is there any new villains? What are we seeing that's new other than...
Some of the main basic villains are now robots instead of just the guys with the beekeepers, the AIM suits.
Okay.
So there's some robots that look a little bit like Age of Ultron robots, the Tony Stark robots that he had with like the white faces and stuff. And apparently the villain at the end of this is supposed to be the Super Adaptoid.
The Super Adaptoid.
Which is
that sounds like a gadget you'd buy on QVC.
It's this character from the 60s that they created that essentially has the powers of all the Avengers.
Mm.
And he's got, like, in the game, he's got a shield like Captain America and a hammer like Thor's that he shoots lightning out of. And I haven't gotten to him yet. I believe he's supposed to be at the end of the Kate Bishop stuff.
Oh, okay.
The thing that I like the most is they took Kate Bishop, who's already a character I love, kind of the younger version of Hawkeye, and mixed her with another character that is my absolute favorite character, and that's Nightcrawler.
Oh, my goodness, the Diddler.
Yeah.
The Night Diddler.
Nightcrawler does not.
He was a Diddler.
He was not.
He was a priest.
No.
Creepy I mean, crawler.
They covered it up.
No.
The Church of X covered it up or whatever.
You knew this was coming when you brought this up.
Kate Bishop can teleport thanks to some technology that she's stolen from AIM.
Oh.
Which is interesting. Her passive ability is she can put out a decoy that the enemies will swarm, so you can back up and shoot arrows at them, which is pretty cool. Another one is that she's got an arrow that she shoots that has the teleporter on the tip of it. So when it gets to, when it hits somebody, she teleports to where it is and causes an area of effect.
Oh, that's cool.
Blasts everybody back. And you can also, that's how she gets around, you know, everybody's like, you know, Widow's got the web swinging essentially, and Miss Marvel can stretch her limbs and stuff like that. That's essentially how you can get Kate to higher up stuff is by teleporting up to it, which is really fun. It gives me a lot of hope for, you know, where the game is going. I don't know if they space these out too much. I don't know that anyone will really care.
We'll keep coming back.
Yeah.
They need to have kind of a schedule, or they need to release it on a more of a regular basis to keep the interest going.
Exactly. And it felt a little weird that in order to play the very first mission of it, I had to have a character at maximum level.
Really?
Yeah.
Then I won't even be able to play it.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll be different if you try it out and you haven't leveled your characters up, but like the very first one, I chose Miss Marvel, and it said my character level was too low, so I chose the guy I leveled up the most, which was Tony Stark, and it said I could play it.
Oh, okay.
All right, fine.
I probably won't be able to play then.
Yeah,
well,
so
screw you, Avengers game.
But
so talk about good things about them.
It's been a real roller coaster for that game here
it
on
has.
The show.
It really has. It really has. It feels like that we had the kind of the same thing a couple of weeks ago with Star Wars Squadrons. It's like there's a lot of games.
Oh, yeah,
like,
the excitement and anticipation.
You're like, yes, I'm going to play this game. And then you play and you're like, ah, man, that wasn't as cool.
Well,
as
even Avengers, though, didn't James, when you first got it, you kind of liked it? And
dude,
you've
I loved
kinda
it.
Gone,
yeah.
It's kind of gone downhill.
Like, this is great.
Yeah.
This is like I'm playing in a movie. It's so much fun. I'm the Hulk. I'm smashing stuff. I'm jumping around. I get to play as Thor. I'm throwing a hammer. I'm calling it back. I'm hitting people. You know, I'm doing all this crazy cool stuff.
And then I'm like, oh, I got to just keep doing all the same stuff again. Okay. Oh, man. This isn't as fun as it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the this thing now.
I think that's the big difference between the two games for your experience anyways, that you played Avengers and loved it, whereas Squadrons, you were just super excited for.
Oh, yeah, Squadrons. I was like, oh, my God. Down. Yeah. I'm like, I get to fly a starship from the Star Wars galaxy. Like,
I don't want to. I just want to simulate flying. I don't want to actually go to pilot school.
You don't want to have to deal with charging your engine power.
Yeah.
Charging your lasers up.
Yeah, I don't have time to consider. Do I need to have my lasers on powered up, or do I need my shields, or do I want my speed? I got to hit a certain button to go faster. I got to hit a certain button to have more powerful lasers. Like, I don't got time for this. I drive an automatic transmission car, okay?
He would hate Bridge Crew.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we dodged a bullet there.
Well, it's still downloaded on my PS4, waiting for you guys to play.
We were talking like a year ago about playing Bridge Crew with James.
Been sitting on my PlayStation there. I paid the $10 when it was on sale. I haven't even gotten dollars worth out of it.
There is no action involved in Bridge Crew. Absolutely none.
No.
And that's not all the Kate Bishop stuff I want to talk about today.
No, we got some more Kate Bishop business.
I do, because they're filming the Hawkeye series in New York City, and people have already got some behind the scenes footage. Last Friday, there was a series of photos that showed Haley. What's her name again? Some bitch.
Haley Sombich, huh?
Haley Stenfield from the Bumblebee movie.
Oh man. I saw it because Cena's in it, but that was the only memorable face.
You're just trying.
she was the girl that was hanging on Bumblebee the whole time.
Okay, I mean, I remember there was a girl, but I couldn't point her out of a lineup.
Yeah, she was also the voice of Spider-Gwen in the Into the Spider-Verse movie.
Did she look like that Amanda Siegfried chick a little bit?
Oh, maybe a little.
I gotta Google her.
Is she actually in this Hawkeye thing, or is this a way to sneak in Transformers talk?
No, it's not. No, she is playing.
don't think I didn't notice that.
She's playing Kate Bishop in this. She's got her hair dyed black, and the first photos
came out on Friday of her and Jeremy Renner coming down some subway stairs with Pizza Dog.
With okay. Pizza Dog.
Yeah, from the Hawkeye comic, the Matt Fraction comic.
So I never saw that. Yeah.
So, yeah, the dog is going to be a part of it. And obviously with Kate and Clint being together, they're going to be taking some stories from that comic as well, which is super exciting because that was when I discovered I liked Hawkeye. Was when that particular writer wrote it. As of yesterday, too, there was some photos of her in the kind of the costume, which is pretty cool. It looks like the purple costume that Kate wears in.
Oh, that's cool.
In the comics.
So the girl from the Bumblebee movie yep. is Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye series. What, for Disney Plus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't realize she was brunette. I was picturing a blonde. Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't think she was in the Bumblebee movie.
No,
but you know what? Hair dye is crazy.
That's true, but I was picturing a blonde chick, so it was not the person I was picturing at all.
Right. So, yeah, they're in the middle of filming that, and that's going to be at some point next year. And I'm sure you guys have heard the news in the last 24 hours about Spider-Man.
All the different villains that they're bringing back?
All the Spider-Man news that's coming out. Yesterday, I saw that Alfred Molina is coming back.
Dr. Octopus?
Dr. Octopus. We heard, I don't know, like a month ago that they were probably going to get...
Jamie Foxx as Electro?
Yeah, yep. And then the two Spider-Mans, Andrew Garfield and...
Tobey Maguire.
Thank you, Tobey Maguire. I'm bad at names, man.
That's going to be interesting. I just hope, because I know a lot of people are hyped about all this, but to me it sounds like there's too many cooks in the kitchen right now. There's too many ingredients.
There's so many, yeah, so many people.
I feel like it's not going to come out the way everybody's hoping it's going to.
I read a thing last night on the prep server saying that one of the people working on it says they want to have like an Avengers Endgame-like finale to this Spider-Man movie. Mm. So, you know, I'm sure it's like all the Spider-Men showing up.
Good luck.
Yeah. I was just reading this.
Good luck.
Just reading this morning, too, that Charlie Cox is going to be showing up as Daredevil.
Ooh, Charlie Cox, huh? Yeah. Is he from the Marvel Netflix series?
Yep.
Okay.
He was the Daredevil on Netflix. So
I couldn't only handle a few episodes of Daredevil. I couldn't get into it.
No?
No. Everybody's like, oh, it's so good. You got to watch it. And I'm like.
Yeah. Out of the four Netflix shows, that was the best one.
I couldn't watch any of the Netflix shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also couldn't get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. either.
Yeah. Well. I'm on board with you. Me and Al are on board with you.
Oh, my goodness. Just give me the movies.
I liked the Netflix series, but I jumped off at some point. I got too far behind, and eventually I was just like, you know, screw you.
Well, I really wanted to see The Punisher. Everybody's like, you got to see The Punisher.
Yeah.
But if you want to watch The Punisher, you got to watch Daredevil. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch Daredevil to get to The Punisher. Daredevil put me to sleep, so I'm like, I don't care about The Punisher.
Oh.
I punished myself enough.
Yeah. Well, like season two or something, half of it had... The Punisher in it, I think.
Was it season two or season three?
I think it was season two.
I think it was season two. Yeah,
I think it was two. I don't think I ever got around to season three of Daredevil.
After that, they jumped on the, they gave Punisher his own show.
Yeah.
For a season two.
Great casting of the Punisher, I feel.
Yeah, John Bernthal.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Fantastic. While we're talking about you mentioned Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Let's talk about the Mandalorian last week.
Woo!
This feels like this week's probably the end of this season.
Oh, you think so?
After the setup of last week. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think it's like eight.
We got to go at least 10. I mean, I guess I could edit it with eight. It'll be like a
feel brief. Like the last week's was number six.
Yeah. I'll look it up.
It could be like a mid-series thing, too, and put it on hold.
I don't know. It seemed like such a big thing. Like you got to, and spoilers, obviously, if you haven't seen it yet, but you finally got to see Boba Fett show up.
Boba Fett. He's fat, okay? He's fat.
He's badass, though.
Yeah, well, that's how they wrote him.
Oh, okay. There are two more episodes, which is weird because, like I said, the way this one was put together, like after they stole the child and Mando goes to Cara Dune and like just starts to put together the Dirty Dozen to go save the child, is like, oh, man, the next one's got to be
the Hunks from Hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I enjoyed this episode, but I almost feel like some of the stuff they're giving you. Like, so a lot of people complained about the last Star Wars movie was catering too much to fans.
Sure.
I feel like that's exactly what's happening with the Mandalorian episode. Because one kick-ass bounty hunter, Mandalorian, is enough. I don't need the other one. And also, if he knew who had his armor, where the armor was located, why the hell is Fat Boba Fett waiting until now to get the armor back from the Mandalorian?
Well, Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Yeah, why is Boba Fett now deciding, I want my armor back.
Well,
give me my armor. Here's the armor that you got from so-and-so over here at this place over at Tatooine. I know you got it. I saw you get it. Why didn't he just go get it? Because obviously, I won't give away what happens, but once you see him in the armor, he freaking kills everybody.
Oh, yeah. He's just total badass.
I'm like,
that's what Amy said when we were watching. It's like, okay, Boba Fett's finally cool because he's doing something. And
maybe
badass.
That's why they had to do that. But I'm like, now I see why he's the most feared bounty hunter.
It is
land.
A thing, and I've heard it come up on the internet before where it's like, why is Boba Fett considered so cool? He doesn't do anything.
Right.
And the first time you see him in action, you get swallowed by the Sarlacc pit.
Boba Fett, where?
Yeah. I don't know.
I enjoyed that staff that he had.
That is sweet.
That's I don't cool remember weapon. What action figure had that thing, but I remember seeing it being like, what the F is this?
That's cool. It's like a weird, like a golf club with a spade on the end.
Yeah.
Like a sword, like a fork, and then that weird
it's
thing.
Got that weird bend on it, and it's that little spike on it.
You crack them. Like,
what the hell is this thing? Yeah. Somebody bent this gun before I even got it out of the packaging. This sucks.
Where's the trigger?
Well, it's the same thing with the. Do you remember the Princess Leia from Return of the Jedi action figure?
Okay.
So, like when you see her in Return of the Jedi, she's holding this like staff,
weird kind of thing.
And then when you get the figure, that's like a sniper rifle or something because there's a handle on the bottom of it, and then you put it in your hand, and it's like 6 feet out.
Oh wow!
It was really silly looking.
I didn't realize that was a gun.
And no, you don't, because she's just walking around with it like a staff. Yeah. Very strange stuff, but a very cool episode of the Mandalorian.
Yeah, very entertaining.
Action-packed, full of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't have any issues with it, but like James and I had a discussion about this earlier this week.
Yeah.
And I see where he's coming from on that. I wasn't upset by it, but I could easily see it. Like, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
That I could easily fall down.
And I think it's cool who they cast to play him, and all that stuff. But I was just like, he's fat. I don't need to see him as fat. I want to see him kick ass.
For someone that eats as much Taco Bell as you, you're real concerned.
Well,
with
hey,
the
I
got to
deal with all
fat.
The fat shaming online too. You know, nobody's saying I look like a young hunk of a man.
No, you got to look at it like
young hunk of a man.
Yeah.
See, when I saw the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and he's got the gun on him, I'm like, hey, I could be Spider-Man. That's what you got. You're like, hey, you could be Boba Fett.
I could, but I'm not going to be a very entertaining Boba Fett. The only thing I'm hunting down is Cheesy Goodyear Crunches and the local Taco Bell.
I'd be Boba Nap.
Boba Nap. Just wanted, yeah, me too. Boy, I'd use a nap. Speaking of the Mandalorian, too, Valiant Summers ahead of the game here. He said, did anyone see the Mandalorian Nerf sniper rifle? Yeah, they announced this week.
I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, it's got. I hope the fork on the end is spongy rubber because if that thing's just plastic, that thing goes, it's going to break really fast, and B, kids are going to.
Put your eye out.
Yeah.
It'll put your eye out.
Stabbing each other. You know what's really cool about it, though? It takes the little Nerf, bullets on it. You load them in through, like, a thing next to the trigger instead of having to put them in the barrel. There's a little thing and you just, whoop, just like a rifle.
So it's like a real sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty cool. Unfortunately, things like $120.
Woo-hoo-hoo! And I'm out.
Yeah. I don't know that.
I won't be sniping squirrels with my sniper rifle in the backyard now.
That thing's going to have to come down a lot. But we're going to take a short break right now. Coming back, I've got some more video game news for you. Cyberpunk 2077 causing seizures right out the gate. That's not good news. We got some wrestling news to get to and more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I'm Tom Savage, listening to Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
That's more Nerd Radio. You can find us on social media, Nerd Radio 101, or at a handy dandy website, just nerdradio101.com. Chuck Bean, Al Beck, and James here to talk some more nerd stuff to you. Lots of video game news to talk about. I didn't tell you guys about Soma, did I?
What?
There's a game called Soma that was on PlayStation Plus earlier this year, and the weekend before last, I finally sat down and went through it. It's pretty all right. The plot of it essentially is a guy in modern times goes to get an MRI and then wakes up in the future in some, like, he freaks out and he passes out in the MRI machine, and then he wakes up in an undersea base in the future.
Oh, that's scary.
A meteor has hit the Earth, and the five or six people who are living in this undersea base are the last people left on Earth, and they're surrounded by a whole bunch of robots that are malfunctioning.
Ouch. And you're underwater.
Yeah, if you like Bioshock, then it's kind of neat. It's like an indie version of Bioshock. And the only complaint I had about it is I didn't have a walkthrough. I'd been wandering around for days because some of the areas are just like so big and there's no reason for them to be that big.
Oh.
Like I could walk in that direction for 5 minutes and see nothing because I'm supposed to go in that direction. But
now
there's nothing
like
to tell
Fallout.
Me it goes in that direction. A little bit. But yeah, I went through that the last weekend. And I told you guys the last couple of weeks, I am addicted to that Phasmophobia game.
You are. You're just addicted to ghost hunting. Huh?
I am addicted to ghost hunting. It is quickly turning me.
Because Boston makes them feel good.
It's turning me into Egon.
Really?
Or Ray. Like
call you a Spangler.
Yeah. Every time I'm getting to the point where as soon as I walk in the house, I'm like, show yourself. Show yourself, spirit. Show yourself.
Is that something you do in the game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because you have to. Because
it's too scary for me to play, so I have no idea.
It has voice recognition stuff. So when you start you put all your equipment. You don't have any cool Ghostbuster equipment, like the packs.
No proton packs?
No. Oh. You've got flashlights. You've got a box that the ghost will talk to you through.
Oh,
a
walkie-talkie, cool.
Talk of ghost. You can be like, spirit, where are you? And the box will say, here. And you're like, oh, no.
Hey, spirit, talk to me through this baby monitor.
Yeah, pretty much.
We are high-tech ghost hunters in this video game.
Death. Oh, die.
No. Oh, no.
Pain.
Oh.
Behind.
This is bad. I think either the ghost is really evil or this baby monitor is malfunctioning or we're next door to Satan and his child. A lot of options there.
But yeah, the last couple of weeks, like I'm playing like an hour or two a night with some friends of mine, just like going in and because on one hand, it's the fun of the scariness of, you know, the ghost will just pop up in front of you and you're like, ah, Jesus. And then try and get a picture of it. You have to, you know, be quick on the draw to try and, instead of just freaking out and running away, be like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, the face of fear. So is that what the object of the game is to take pictures? Like, are you trying to document the ghost's existence?
The object is to go into the house.
Not just to, like, get rid of the ghost.
You use your, you've got a thermometer, and you figure out which room in the house is the coldest.
I know where the thermometer goes.
No, not one of those thermometers.
Oh!
Well.
Do I have COVID?
You might have a fever.
You use the thermometer to find the room in the house that's the coldest, and that's where the spirit is in the house. And then you start putting stuff in that room, like video cameras, to see if you can see little things, little ghost orbs flying around.
Okay.
And you're trying to narrow down. You're trying to narrow down what kind of ghost it is. You've got like six to choose from.
This sounds like something out of Supernatural.
A little bit. But you're looking for like three things, three, you know, earmarks, whether it talks to you through the spirit box or there's ghost orbs or there's maybe like a handprint with the UV light that you can see. You can put a book in there and it'll write in the book after you leave the room. So sometimes you like leave the room and then you come back and the book will just have die written over and over and over again.
You're that's
like,
not a very interesting story.
Angry ghost. Let's go home now. And then sometimes they hunt you and try and murder you.
So once you find die, my darling, written in the book,
right?
Then the level's over and you can move on to a next ghost chase?
Well, like I said, you're trying to find three of the things.
Okay.
So now I've got ghostwriting. Now I have to find two other things to figure out which type of ghost this is.
Okay.
And that's where it comes into, like, they don't, sometimes you got to piss them off to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to walk in and say their name, like, Lewis Tully, Lewis Tully, Lewis Tully, where are you? Lewis Tully, come get me.
You sound like that Zach guy, the ghost bro.
Yeah,
fights with spirits.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. But they added like a prison level. There's an asylum. There's a high school you can go to, and then there's a couple of different houses. And it's if you got a group to play with, it's a goddamn blast.
I'm still too scared.
It's really fun.
I'm really scared with that Tully guy's gonna come in this room right now and get us. Whoever you're screaming his name.
That's what I mean. I'm turning into Ega. Like I've gone from the irrational fear of like the supernatural to the like I'm gonna figure it out. I'm going to figure out what kind of ghost you are by pissing you off.
I need to take you down to Waverly Hills. Now go bust some ghosts, Egon.
I do think it's funny that James will do like a legit go to a haunted place in person, but he won't play a scary game.
Well, yeah.
Because here's the thing. I know there's not some programmed code that's going to make something pop out and scare me in the haunted house.
I'll give you that.
So
touché.
So
in an actual haunted house, I might see some dust. I might hear a fart someone's going to pass off as a ghost noise. I did have that interaction where I felt like I got hugged by, like, the ghost kid.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, when the whole side of my body got all cold and tingly and felt like I had, like, a hug from a child. But at the end of the day, I'm not feeling that like embarrassment. Like I just got scared.
See,
the
jump scare. I don't want any part of that. Like Amy was giving me crap because of my Ouija board rule in the house. And like one of the things you can find in the game is a Ouija board.
Oh, I don't mess with the Ouija
board.
And you
can say, nope, I'm not. And she was watching me play Saturday and the others were messing with Ouija boards. Like, huh, so you can have a Ouija board in your game, but I can't have one in the house. I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not touching it at all. It's up to them.
I won't not mess with the Ouija
that
board.
That's
asking for trouble.
That's a line I'm not willing to cross.
Yeah. I don't care, Milton Bradley. You're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
No, Parker Brothers. Whoever.
Haunted by Milton.
Yeah. I have the ghost of Milton Bradley. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Do not pass go.
Milton Bradley.
Battleship.
Milton Bradley, where are you? Behind. Milton Bradley, what do you want? Mousetrap.
Yeah. No, I can never complete that board game.
Pop-O-Matic Bubble.
Oh, the Pop-O-Matic Bubble was neat.
Yeah. It was inventive.
Did you ever feel like as a kid, you don't understand how cool it is, and you just want to break it open so you can get the dice out from underneath
you're like,
it?
How does this work?
And as your adult, you're like, oh, I don't have to worry about throwing the dice and then falling off the table. I just go pop, pop.
Yes, why does the dice bounce when I push the bubble down? Release. I'm intrigued.
Well, in video games, Cyberpunk 2077 comes out this week. I think we talked about it. I know I talked with the Checkpoint guys last week a little bit about it when I was on the Checkpoint Daily with them. But it's been a long road getting here, and it's probably going to need quite a few patches before the game is completely playable. Somebody said it feels like it's shipped about 80% done.
Mm.
And the people who have been reviewing it the last week with the advanced copies on the PC, one of them discovered that there's no seizure warning, and it actually triggered a seizure in them.
Ouch.
While they were playing a review copy.
I feel, I don't know, because I don't want to speak ill of the people who suffer from whatever causes the seizures,
right,
the epilepsy or whatever, but don't you kind of know going into any kind of video game that there's a chance that there's going to be flashing lights and stuff that could trigger your seizure?
Well, not all video games have the flashing. In the same way that, not all video games trigger my motion sickness.
Fair enough, but still, I feel like if you're playing a game, you know there's a chance that there's going to be lights flashing. I don't know if it's particular types of light flashes. I don't know enough about it to really speak on the condition, but I feel like when I'm going to a movie, I know there's a, you know, if it's rated PG-13, whatever, I know that could be the F word.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the F word's not on the same level as, you know, possibly dying because of a light flash on your game. But I feel like anytime you're playing a game, you put a new game in, there's a chance that there's going to be weird flashing lights.
True.
That could trigger some of those issues.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like if you went into a movie and like the F word happened.
Yeah.
And with the seizures, I had a buddy of mine who would have, you know, photo seizures and during certain songs in Rock Band where the things would go black and white and the lights would flash, you'd have to kind of do one of these.
Oh, really?
And not look until it was back.
Do they have a warning?
Yeah.
Okay.
And most games, if they do have flashing lights, will have that warning. Mm. It's just that nobody had actually put that warning in the game yet. They are saying that they will put a seizure warning in the game once they patch it.
I mean, the game is called Cyberpunk 2077.
Right.
What about that doesn't seem like there's going to be weird, crazy future? I don't know. I hear the name and I'm like, that sounds like flashing lights to me.
Yeah.
Warning. It's not like you're going to see a movie without a rating. And they say the F word. And you're like,
right. Well, yeah, I'm saying the F word too isn't going to make you sick or, you know, make you have a seizure either.
But what if it's like the brown note? You know, the brown note appears in a movie and everybody craps their pants without a warning.
I want that warning.
I want that warning too. I guess I just made my own.
I was going to say, do you still
my own argument?
Do you still show up if the warning's there? Do you still? They say the brown note's coming. You're like, yeah, I'm here for it.
I think I do. I want the challenge. Play the note.
You want to see if
try
you
it? Try it.
Right.
James, play the brown note. Should not have worn the thong that day.
Ooh, yeah.
Got his butthole clenched so tightly.
I think it's like a lot of like the game consoles have some sort of warning when you boot it up, but a PC maybe necessarily would not.
I think it's just the games.
I think it's game specific too.
I don't recall my PlayStation or my Xbox letting me know as soon as it boots up that hey, there might be some flashing lights.
Could have sworn there was something, but I don't know. What do I know? What I don't play. I don't do anything.
Right. Well, this question is.
I know there's four lights on Star Trek. That's all I need to know.
I saw a really funny Christmas meme.
I heard there was five lights.
I saw a really funny Christmas meme last week where the guy that runs the Deep Space Nine calls Captain Picard and tells him that they just got their Christmas decorations done and said that he heard that the ones in the Enterprise are lackluster because there's only four lights.
Yeah. I've seen that meme, yeah.
Oh, there you go. All right, cool. I know. Well, then never mind. Wasted everyone's time. Sweet.
I didn't see the meme.
So I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this question as far as Al's concerned.
Yeah, all right, cool.
Let me tell you about some new Transformers that are coming out.
Oh,
there.
My God. Where's the... I thought I saw something here I could have used.
Yep.
Where's the one? Where?
No.
James, did you spend any time playing Destiny?
Destiny
out?
1.
Destiny
I played
or
for
Destiny
a little
2?
Bit. Yeah, I played Destiny 1 a little bit. I just didn't care. I hate the Halo type of combat.
Okay.
You get your shield.
Yeah, where your shields and
your shield
you go
disappears.
Duck somewhere
go hide behind
back.
A rock. Nobody comes and gets you when you're behind the rocks. So.
Right.
Shields are back. Guess what? I'm back.
Because I saw an article yesterday saying that they just, I guess they do an annual patch with new content for Destiny 2, and it was this week as well.
Wow.
They put a whole bunch of add-ons for the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series XS, which means that people are playing Destiny 2 on the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series XS. Yeah. It's not a game that ever grabbed me whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't
either.
I didn't just wasn't for me. I felt bad because I know somebody spent some money to buy me the game, and I played it for like 15 minutes.
That was kind of why I was super pumped about the Avengers game, is because it was supposed to be kind of that Destiny experience of like just run the same missions over and over, trying to get better and better loot. But it was with something that I was interested in, Avengers,
yeah,
Marvel stuff. But yeah, so if you're a Destiny 2 player and you haven't played it for a while, there's a new update for that. Also, we were talking about the Game Awards. Game Awards coming up on Thursday. Last week, you were asking me who's going up for the Game Awards.
Yeah, what do we have?
All right, well, let me pull up the list here.
Some of the main categories and some of the main games up.
I thought I had it, and I didn't. Some bitch.
Like, do they break it down? Like, best Xbox game, best PlayStation exclusive, best Switch.
I don't know that they break it down by system so much, because, like, for instance, for Game of the Year, they've got Doom Eternal, Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah. Animal Crossing, New Horizons, Hades, Last of Us Part 2, and Final Fantasy VII Remake. Mm. So those are across all the different systems.
These are all games I didn't play.
No, you didn't play a single one of those, huh?
I didn't play a single one of those games.
Yep.
Guess I'm not a Game of the Year kind of guy.
They've got stuff like...
You're very indie.
Yeah, I'm too hip for those cool mainstream games.
James is an Untitled Goose Game kind of guy.
Yeah.
There you go. There's stuff like best art direction, best score and music, best audio design.
Well, best score and music better go to Street Fighter, or not Street Fighter, Streets of Rage 4.
You know what? It's not even in here.
It's not even on the list.
Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Hades, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and Last of Us Part 2.
Ori?
That's the best they got.
Yep. I will say that, like, if you remember, Last of Us Part 2 had that thing where you could play the guitar.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind Didn't of that fascinating and fun.
Blink 182 guy do something, or
yeah.
was it somebody else?
He figured out how to play some Blink 182 songs yeah. using that, that
yeah,
particular
Mark Hoppus.
Guitar. Yep. Best indie game. They've got Fall Guys, Ultimate Knockout, Hades, Spelunky 2, Spiritfarer, and Carrion. I told you guys about Carrion, didn't I? The game where
yeah.
you're the monster.
Yeah. You're
killing all the people in the lab. That looked like a really fun game.
Oh, yeah. You need to talk about that game.
Yep. Best mobile game. They've got Call of Duty Mobile, Legends of Runeterra, Pokemon Cafe Mix, Genshin Impact, and Among Us. Among Us better win that. Among Us was fun.
That was the best community game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun game.
Best online game.
Oh, best online?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the best online.
Best VR AR game. They've got the Iron Man VR, Star Wars Squadrons, Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, Half-Life Alyx, and Dreams. You guys are my VR buddies.
I haven't even played anything in VR this year. I haven't even set the VR up on my PlayStation 4.
Oh, yeah, since you moved into a new place?
Yeah, everything's all set up, just stream.
Do you have to set up cameras for the VR?
PlayStation 4 camera, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because I remember somebody...
Because they got to be able to see where you're moving your arms when you're
yeah,
chopping those.
Yeah, a buddy of mine had this... Well, the guys that I play Phasmophobia with, a couple of them play in VR.
Oh, you can play Phasmophobia in VR? Oh,
you can.
Oh, that's a
which is
easy way to poop your pants.
It's really kind of hilarious to watch them moving their hands around in the VR.
I do
kind of
want to play that Squadrons game in VR, but I also got motion sickness playing Ace Combat in VR.
Well,
so
you know at least two people with it who aren't really playing it right now. I'm sure you could borrow it off one of them.
Yeah. I mean, when you have some free time, you're actually going to sit down and play the game, Al. Which reminds me, I got to bring back both your guys' stuff that I've got on loan.
Yeah.
And one of Al's movies, and I got one of your games.
I think I asked you guys this before, but last time we talked about this maybe a month ago, but if you had to nominate your game of the year, for 2020. Doesn't have to have come out in 2020. Just the game that you've enjoyed the most that you played this year.
Mine's very easy. Realm Royale.
Realm Royale.
Let's see, I mean, for like, honestly, the only game I play, really. I play other stuff, but every Friday, I've got 3.5 to 4 hours I commit to playing just this game and this game alone. And I have fun, for the most part, every single time I play.
Right.
Anything else, I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, Mario Kart, I would probably nominate. I forgot how much fun Mario Kart was.
Yeah, it's a
blast. I played
that
last week and playing it again. I'm like, man, if there's one thing that Nintendo can do, they can make games that are really for kids, but adults can still have so much fun playing.
Yep.
Real quick, extend that to the people who are watching on Twitch as well. If they're in the chat, what would you nominate? Again, it doesn't have to have been released this year, but what was your most fun?
What was the game you played in 2020 that you're like, that was the coolest game I played all year?
Yeah, because I don't even have an answer to that question because I can't think of what I've played.
Well, you played Final Fantasy VII. You've been playing Rocket League. I'm trying to think what games you play with your nephew.
Right, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's all I've really got on my list.
What'd you have the most fun with? Is really the
yeah. What about all those Final Fantasy games you downloaded on your phone?
You played for like an hour or so.
I did enjoy playing the first Final Fantasy for a little while.
That's fine.
Oh, Christ.
I'm so knee-deep in Phasmophobia. I really think, like, if I was grinding towards something in that game, I'd be playing it all the time. I just like constantly, because that's
the developers to find something. Some kind of grind mechanism.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's missing. Like when you boot up Realm Royale and you've got your daily quests or whatever like that. Like if those daily quests equaled something cool going forward instead of just more money for equipment, because the ghosts don't kill me very often, so I've got plenty of equipment.
Yeah, like get you a cool like set of goggles or something.
Yeah, if you could grind up to Ghostbuster level and get proton packs and stuff, boy.
And then you end up killing all your other teammates when you
with the protons. Yeah, exactly.
Now you're all ghosts.
Nice shooting, Tex.
Yeah,
we did get a couple of submissions in the chat here. Rimworld.
Okay, is this a real game?
It's real. Okay. I've seen it.
Sounds like a section on Grindr.
Like one of those games that pop
Grindr
up when you're on when you're on Pornhub. You won't last 5 minutes playing RimWorld.
Yeah, I'm like, I bet you I could last 6.
Dynasty Warrior 8 for PS3. We got
interesting.
Destiny 2.
Oh, see, somebody is playing Destiny. Yeah. All right, good for you. RimWorld is a science fiction colony simulator. So it's think The Sims, but in space.
The Sims in space, space, space.
You like set up you land on a planet and then you set up a colony and try and survive.
Actually, it seems kind of fun. Is so like more like Sims, less like StarCraft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Can you put in a hot tub in your spot and invite all the sexy alien babes over?
I didn't see anything about
blow some underwater bubbles with you.
Yeah. Put a hot tub out in the vacuum of space.
Yeah. Hey, man. Guys like to relax, even in space.
Yeah. So the Game Awards, like I said, coming up on Tuesday. And we're going to take a short break when we get back. I've got some PlayStation 5 news. If you're trying to get a PlayStation 5, well, you know how difficult it is. One retailer is trying to make it easier for people who aren't scalping PlayStation 5s to get one. Another guy got completely boned buying a PlayStation 5 on eBay. And we got to talk about wrestling. This last week in wrestling
crazy
has been
week.
Very eventful.
Yeah.
All right. We're coming back with Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Roger me, welcome me, anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
And now, back to the nerds.
Follow us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. Of course, download the podcast every Friday morning, wherever you get your podcasts, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. My name is Chuck B, and joined by James and Al Beck, talking about all things nerd every week here on Nerd Radio. Let's get right into the wrestling talk.
Wrestling.
Holy moly, what a week it's been.
Yeah.
As far as professional wrestling goes. Last Wednesday night, AEW Dynamite really moved the needle when Sting showed up.
Really?
Yes. It's a two-hour show, like most good wrestling shows are. And during the first hour main event, Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin were getting beat down by Taz's guys. And then the arena went dark, and you saw the video on the screen with the Crow on it. And so the fake snow started coming down, and then Sting showed up with the baseball bat and saved him. Dude's in his 60s.
I was just going to say, how old is that guy now?
Dude's in his 60s. And he said earlier this year that he was kind of holding out for hopefully a match with The Undertaker, even though they're both pretty much past their prime. And now that The Undertaker said his final goodbye at Survivor Series, apparently he decided it's time to jump ship.
So is that what finally made him pull the trigger to get back on
That's
TV?
That's my guess.
Okay.
Is that he was kind of, because he's been under WWE contract for a while so that they could license, you know, Sting t-shirts and masks. And he was at WrestleMania a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And then he had that match with Seth Rollins where he almost got crippled. So he hasn't been in the ring since then. But yeah, I really feel like, okay, if I'm not going to get my Undertaker match, then I might as well go over here and
do
my thing.
So do you think Sting's going to get in the ring and actually take bumps and stuff?
If you look on AEW's website, mm-hmm. he does have a record, like all the AEW wrestlers, of 0-0 right now. Mm-hmm. So that implies that he is going
to see some action in the ring.
I'm
worried about these old guys, these old-timers, you know, lacing up their boots and getting back in the ring.
Yeah.
I don't know if it really does their legacy any service. I also don't know if it's worth them putting their bodies on the line to risk, like, permanent injury at that age. Is it a money thing? Like, what is the drive? Is it just they miss getting their ass beat for cash so badly that they want to come back? Do they just miss that adrenaline rush that you get when the crowd goes wild, when, you know, the music hits? Like, I don't get it. Just from watching Goldberg and watching that Undertaker match, I'm like, oh, no, stop. Watching Triple H and Shawn Michaels, I know I'm going to a different league that a lot of people are a little more anti-against, but like watching these old-timers get back in the ring and wrestle, to me, it's not as exciting. It's more sad.
Yeah.
It's more sad than it is exciting. It's very cool to hear Sting was back, but I don't know that I want to. I'm not tuning into AEW to watch a man Sting possibly die.
Yeah.
You know, Dynamite.
It's cool for a cameo.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like, and if you're watching a Raw and all of a sudden you hear that glass break.
Yeah.
It's
not Robbie Landis walking in.
Well, you get super excited or whatever. Stone Cold shows up, but you don't need to see him. I mean, you know, honestly, even when he was in his prime, he was more exciting when he just showed up anyway.
Yeah.
Always wrestling.
Yeah. He's just going to come in and Stone Cold Stunner.
Give somebody a Stone Cold Stunner. Yeah. And that's, we talked a couple weeks ago about The Undertaker, how, you know, he could still show up and chokeslam people and be creepy and not have to take bumps. And I feel like Sting's in the same vein. Like, he could show up and blast somebody in the face with a bat, baseball bat, and
he won't have to put himself in jeopardy as much.
Exactly.
And plus, he's such an old, not an old timer, but he's such a legend and he's so respected within the wrestling community. Everybody's going to do whatever they can to kind of take care of him. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you're gonna see guys definitely dealing with him with kid gloves.
And Hall Gaming in the Twitch chat here is saying he believes he was done wrong by WWE and he wants to go out better, which I guess I understand that too.
Yeah.
But, like, so who's the epic wrestler in AEW that he's going to have this epic finish with?
Well, he's probably going to fight Cody, because everybody does, because Cody is pretty much the Triple H of AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a moment with Darby Allin. Darby Allin wears, like, half the skull face paint, and he's the skateboard guy that falls off high stuff. He had a moment with Darby Allin that felt a lot like when Hulk Hogan and The Rock first met in the ring, and they were, like, looking to the side and letting the crowd cheer for him. Like, they kind of looked at each other, and Sting kind of did one of these.
Like, sizing them up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be a really, really fun match to see. And also AEW, at the end of the night, having Jon Moxley, formerly Dean Ambrose, versus Kenny Omega, and Kenny Omega winning the title and then running off to Impact Wrestling this week.
Which is wild, because Impact Wrestling has never been on my radar whatsoever.
Yeah.
Other than checking out, like, some of Rob Van Dam stuff, because he's got
he's
got some big booty hoes that he parades around with.
He does.
So I'll tune in for some of that stuff.
Yep.
But I watched I watched the entire Impact Wrestling because I fell asleep before Kenny Omega actually made the appearance.
Yep.
But I was watching it on my laptop on Twitch, and then finally I realized I could get it on Access.
Yep.
So then I went upstairs, and my fiance and I put it on the TV, and I watched Impact Wrestling until I fell asleep. First time. So they got somebody who's pretty much just been WWE is my bread and butter when it comes to wrestling.
Right.
I don't want to claim to be a diehard fan, but that's just really all I've grown up on. That's all I've really watched. I know there's other stuff out there, but this is what I watch is WWE.
Right.
But to get me to turn the channel, which we watch NXT Wednesday nights. We barely watch AEW unless NXT's not on, to watch such a smaller independent wrestling promotion. That's incredible. So hats off to AEW for making that happen.
Yeah, it absolutely worked. And it's earlier in the year, they had some NWA wrestlers, the Billy Corgan's, the one that he's financing.
Oh,
that
wow,
was just a YouTube.
Still around. Wow.
That was just doing their shows on YouTube. They had some of their NWA wrestlers show up after COVID hit and they couldn't film NWA shows. And now you see that they're working with Impact Wrestling to put together this storyline. It's really interesting and fun.
So do you think all these other lesser known wrestling organizations are trying to, like, we can't beat him. We have WWE, Vince McMahon. We all have this common enemy. Can we all combine, join forces together and do battle with him? You know, like, what is it, the saying, like, my enemy's enemies?
My enemy is my friend, kind of thing. I think there's a little bit of that. I think also that they understand, you know, before WWE, there was the territory system where you would hang out in the Florida territory, and then after a couple months, you would move up north and just
do something over there
kind of thing. And I think they're trying to bring about something very similar to that. And the fact that if you've got all these smaller guys that can't compete with the big guy anyways, then why don't we play nice with each other?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we share talent? Why don't we try and prop each other up? Like you're saying, you've got more people watching AEW on a weekly basis than you do watching Impact. If we can give them a little bit of publicity and move people over there, then everybody wins because wrestling fans are excited again and they want to see stuff. And if WWE has not done a great job this year of keeping wrestling fans excited.
No, because it's the same match every night. It's the same people facing it off at the same ring, like doing the same stuff.
Right.
Like, it's getting boring. It's like, I understand why people are leaving WWE and not liking it, because I'm bored at, you know, watching the show most of the time, too.
Yeah.
So. You guys maybe have not seen this information, but have you seen rating numbers? Do you know if WWE is starting to suffer? Not necessarily suffer, but is it
in
a decline, do you think?
Everybody took a pretty big hit when COVID happened. I will say this, because WWE has put their NXT show on Wednesdays. As soon as they found out AEW is going to be on Wednesdays, they're like, well, then NXT is going to be on Wednesdays on USA instead of just being on our network thing.
Yeah, that was like this time last year. It was after Survivor Series, because I was upset that I'm like, they just took NXT, all the NXT members, pretty much. NXT ran the house. They won all the matches in Survivor Series. And I said they did that so that the people who are watching are like, oh my gosh, these NXT wrestlers are beating WWE wrestlers, and there's an NXT show on Wednesday nights.
Right.
I'm going to watch this, because this is it's another WWE-level wrestling show going up against AEW. So it put all those, anybody who's on NXT, they put them over. And I don't know where I'm going with this argument. statement.
You were upset that the NXT wrestlers had beaten all the WWE wrestlers at the time.
I'm just curious, because, all of my exposure to wrestling is from talking to you guys, so it's not like my... the sampling is large, but I've heard nothing but complaints about WWE, but like whenever AEW comes up, people are excited about it and they enjoy it.
People, for the longest time, it's been the possibility of something new happening. This was the first week where something huge happened.
And that is incredible. Like, I don't know much about Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
But from watching him in AEW, I was like, why is everybody so all on board with Kenny Omega? Because he seems kind of, to me, lame. No offense to anybody.
He has not been impressive in AEW, but he has put on matches that the internet wrestling community, there's a guy called Dave Meltzer that does the
Wrestling Observer.
Wrestling Observer. Typically, he gives a 1 to 5 stars on a match when he reviews them. Kenny Omega, for the longest time, was the only person who had 5-star matches. He'd never give anybody a 5-star match. Eventually, I think he gave AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura in New Japan Pro Wrestling a 5-star match. And then gave Kenny Omega with somebody else 6 stars.
Wow.
So Kenny Omega is kind of recognized by the internet wrestling community as one of the greatest wrestlers of this generation.
Gotcha. Because when I see him, I'm like, I'm not impressed with him.
Yeah, but we haven't really seen it in AEW. Haven't really. Last week against Jon Moxley was probably the best Kenny Omega match we've gotten to see.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I don't even call him by his real name in my house. I'm like, Jimmy Omega, that Jimmy Omega guy.
Right.
Benny Omega.
But the also thing that's very exciting for internet wrestling community fans is that the Bullet Club was a thing a couple of years ago, and it was originally started by Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, and if I'm remembering correctly, Finn Balor.
Let's see, is it Finn or AJ Styles?
It was Finn Balor, and then eventually it turned into like the NWO of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and AJ Styles was a part of it. Kenny Omega was a part of it. The Young Bucks were a part of it. All these superstars were a part of it. Well, now, if Impact and AEW are playing nicely, Gallows and Anderson are in Impact.
Yes, because I saw a lot of people in the chat last night on the Twitch saying, yep, like, the Good Brothers are going to do a Bullet Club reunion. I'm like, I don't even know who the Good Brothers are.
Yeah.
And then eventually it clicked, and somebody had said something. One of the announcers or whatever had mentioned,
yep,
who the Good Brothers were or whatever. I was like, I didn't realize that it was Luke.
Yeah, it's kind of like when the Dudley Boys went to Impact and they couldn't be the Dudley Boys anymore, so they had to call themselves Team 3D.
Okay.
New Japan owns the rights to Bullet Club, which is why they've gone by the Elite in AEW.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, people are just chomping at the bit for the Bullet Club to be a thing again.
And I mean, that could be a good way that they go and take out, you know, the giant, the Colossus WWE.
Yeah.
You give these diehard fans that little tidbit.
It's exciting to know that even you tuned into Impact last night.
Yeah, dude, I was like, last night, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to see what's going on. I don't know what's happening other than, you know, Kenny Omega kind of, he won the title from Moxley in kind of an underhanded way, of a real heel way.
Yeah.
And then, like, the owner of Impact, who is, I guess, good friends with
Kenny Omega,
like, rushed him out of the arena onto a bus to get the hell out of there. And he's like, tune in Tuesday night on Impact Wrestling. I'm like, son of a bitch. I don't know what's happening, but I'm interested. You have my attention. I want to see more.
Yep.
And I also think it's cool that Tony Khan, the owner of AEW, is pumping money into Impact because they bought
that. Yeah,
they say they bought like a long ad spot
right
on the show last night. And but I mean, he even made a joke like he could just buy Impact Wrestling. So it's interesting to see that
the interaction between the two.
Yeah.
Is a lot of fun.
You know, what's going to happen next is got my attention. I'm still watching NXT in our house.
Yep.
But I'm paying more attention to what's going on the internet.
Did you watch War Games on Sunday? NXT
I did.
War Games.
And I was real bored.
You really?
Yeah. Like the first match,
the women's War Games match.
I thought it was fun, but I feel like War Games, you got to get everybody in that ring quicker.
Yeah.
Having the 3 minutes in between the players entering the ring. I don't know, Al, if you're familiar with what War Games is.
I was just going to say, I haven't even heard of this one.
Okay, so they take, this was a WCW thing originally, but WWE bought WCW, so they own the rights to all their stuff. You take two wrestling rings and put them side by side.
Okay.
And then you put a cage around all of it.
Okay.
And you start, you've got two teams of four. You got a good guy team and a bad guy team. And you start with two people in the ring, and then every 3 minutes, one person from each team alternating comes into the ring. And once all eight people are in the ring, now the match is on. Up until that point, you're just beating the crap out of each other, wearing each other down. So if the match starts, you're just looking for a pinfall or a submission between the eight people. Just whoever gets the first pinfall or submission, your team wins.
Yeah, so to me, the War Games, it's too long. Find a way to get the match started quicker.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Like, it's interesting at first to watch, and you see these things happen, and things go down. And then you're like, and the match has officially begun. And I'm like, damn, dude.
I've been watching this for 20 minutes.
I'm ready for the next match. I've seen enough. Like, so yeah, War Games, like, to me, it's kind of boring. And then I ended up falling asleep before, whatchamacallit. I missed the Dexter Lumis match, which Dexter Lumis, to me, is the creepiest, weirdest, newest, most exciting wrestler I've seen in a long time. The crazy mustache. He's got like that almost like Hitler Youth cut with the part. And like, but he crawls around like on his hands, and he gives you these like really creepy, like,
he's got this intense blue Nicolas Cage stare.
Yeah, like he is creepy. Like, I think the first time we saw him was right before all the COVID stuff hit the fan and NXT was here locally.
Yeah.
We saw it. And then so to see him come out and see him do his thing, I remember going to my fiance, like, this guy is creepy as hell. I love it.
His theme song sounds like the Stranger Things
song. It does. Yeah, exactly. So I missed that. I wanted to see that match.
Did you want to see it because of Dexter Lumis, or you want to see it because of Cameron Grimes?
It ain't because of Cameron Grimes. The stinkiest man that's ever walked out of the NXT room to enter the ring when we were there.
He doesn't look very fit. He's kind of fuzzy. He's got a beard, and he's got a stupid hat. And he did, like, his
dude,
whole,
what the hell?
It's Cowboy Al shirtless.
It's Cowboy Al.
He's Cowboy Al shirtless.
And yeah, that's the way he says his name. His name is Cameron Grimes.
I feel like this is just you trying to see if I was paying attention or not.
No, he's a real character.
You just described me. And you're like, God, everyone hates him. He smells bad.
He's got a stupid hat.
I like my mash hat.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I had no stake in the game at the end. The final match, I didn't really care.
No.
You know, undisputed against whoever.
Pat McAfee and the other.
Pat McAfee guy, to me, is the clown. Like, get him out of here.
Right.
So,
I was kind of there for the War Games matches, so I kind of fast-forwarded through the middle of the thing.
I gotcha.
I got there late. And then,
like I said, I slept through it, so.
It was cool to see Pat McAfee take a jump off the cage. He's, you know, a celebrity.
He's the one that took the big bump, huh?
Yeah, he didn't
have
to.
There's always somebody that takes, like, a big bump.
Oh, yeah.
A real high-risk maneuver.
Yeah, so it's cool to see that he's such a big wrestling fan that he's like, yeah, teach me how to do a couple of these things and let me take a giant bump.
Is he a football player?
He used to be a football player. Now okay. He does, I think, a podcast.
Like a radio, like
or
a
radio
sports
DJ?
Podcast yep. or whatever. And now he's trying to get... I mean, to me, that shows he is committed to being a professional wrestler.
Yeah,
he loves it. He wants
really
to do
likes
it.
Professional wrestling. And
but, my God, I don't
figured
know.
Out that he's a good talker and he's a natural heel. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's run with it. Let's have fun.
I hope it all works out for him, but I feel like... Come up with a gimmick or something instead of the Pat McGann. I don't know. It's boring to me.
Well, they're moving the Thunderdome as of this Friday.
Oh, the Thunderdome is moving?
Yeah, they're moving it to...
Bummer Dome.
They're moving it to the Tropicana Field, and some people have already gotten some pictures of it.
They're trying to get it to where they can get people live audience in there because it's an outdoor...
So.
It'll be an outdoor arena, so they
I think
probably...
they're trying to get it, like with AEW, is in an outdoor arena in Daly's Place so they can put people up in the stands in masks and socially distance.
I got you.
And I think WWE is also trying to pull that off. Also, Becky Lynch had her baby.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins had their baby.
The baby's name is Rue.
Rue.
R-O-U-X.
That's got to be an Irish thing.
I don't know. Seth Rollins is kind of a nerd. I could see him just being like, we're going to call the kid Rue with an X. It's going to be awesome.
That's funny. I didn't realize that, but I feel like if he's going to go the nerd way, there'd be like a meaning or something behind it.
No, he's got terrible taste.
Oh. Well, you pick a good girl to knock
up. Yeah, just about everything except ladies. All right, I got two more things I want to talk to you guys about before we leave, and they're both concerning the PlayStation 5.
Uh-oh.
I know I had said last week when we were talking about the rumor about that Silent Hills and Metal Gear game coming out, that if that's true, we find that out this week.
Yeah.
Okay, PlayStation, I'm on board. PlayStation 5 is the system I got to have.
You're
going to
be pulling the PS5 heist?
PS5 is the one I'm going to need. There's a retailer who's trying to fight PS5 scalpers over in South Korea called Game Woori.
Game Woori.
Yes, they have a banner that reads pre-order now next to images of the PS5, and they have also put on their website that they will cancel your pre-order if they think that you are trying to flip it.
Well, how do they know if you're trying to flip it?
Well, if you're trying to order 3 or 4 of them, then yeah.
This well, maybe you're ordering 3 or 4 because you want to make sure you get your one.
Right. It's asking people to help.
Well, I was going to buy you guys that for Christmas, but I guess I can't anymore.
I can't. No. They're asking people to help by reporting scalpers reselling
Very
their
generous.
Pre-orders.
It's a thought that counts, right?
Yeah.
You had a good year, huh? Nice.
I thought about buying you a PS5. I'm not going to do it, but well, I thought about it.
Right,
he didn't
exactly.
tell you about all the money he won on those scratchers he plays.
The excerpt from the message reads, our policy will be to cancel orders without question, even if it's fully paid for in advance, if we discover that the person who ordered it is trying to resell it. Also, if you find an active reselling, please promptly report it to each store location on their Instagram, DM, or forum.
Oh, that'd be crazy to try to sort through all that nonsense. I would just report friends that I know are trying to buy one just to F with them. Be like,
Albeck already has 2. Albeck Radio on Instagram already has 2. Don't allow him to buy any more PS5s.
Oh, my God.
That'd be such a dick if that was how it worked. I feel like Sony needs to step in, and they need to find ways to where you link your PSN account to getting the new system.
Yeah.
And then they can keep track of who's got their accounts linked. And well, I guess if you're buying it for a gift, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
There's problems, no matter. They got problems. Make more PS5s, Sony.
Yeah. It's
problem solved.
That's ultimately what it comes down to, is make more PS5s. A guy in Utah ordered a PS5. You seen like the size of these things? Anyways, like they're about the size of your torso.
Really?
They're really kind of heavy.
Wow.
And the box is huge too. Anyways, a guy in Orem, Utah ordered a PS5 off of eBay because, you know, that's going to turn out fine. And when he got it, when it showed up on his doorstep, he saw the box. He was so excited. He picked it up. It was heavy. He opened the box, and it was a slab of concrete.
Oh, they sent him a brick.
Somebody sent him a slab of concrete instead of a PS5.
This is insanity, man.
In a PlayStation 5 box. Guy paid $878 on eBay.
You got hosed.
For his play. I at least spray paint placed PS5 on the concrete or something.
Is it painted white?
See, I never get the new gen of systems right away because there's always bugs. But man,
right.
I wouldn't buy it secondhand anyway, even if it was a legit sale. Like, you pay the money, they send it to you. You're just rewarding these people. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Just, eventually, Sony's going to make enough of these things that everyone can have one if you want one. Stop buying them secondhand. Make those people eat that money.
Yeah.
That are trying to F you. Mm-hmm. F them by not buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them sit there with 12 PS5s. Just earning interest on that credit card.
Eventually they'll have to be like, all right, fine, I'll sell it for retail. And like, then if they can't sell it, then they'll be like, all right, fine, I'll sell it for $200. Oh my God, I need to recoup something.
Like, I'm actually more on the side of people who are selling pictures of the PS5 on eBay than the people who are reselling an actual PS5. Because the people who are selling the pictures of the PS5, it's on the buyer's fault for not reading that it's just a picture of the PS5.
What's your eBay account? Because I'm never buying anything off of you. You're a huge jerk.
Well, just so you know, like, eBay has caught on to the selling the pictures of consoles. So
I'm sure.
Put the kibosh on that.
Right.
So, my get-rich-quick scheme went right down the pooper.
Xbox is out too, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I haven't heard anything about that. Has that been pretty much on the up and up?
I mean, there's been some problems like there always is with the first, first run of a new gen system, but I've also heard that a lot of people, mainly the Xbox that doesn't have the disc drive in it, I've heard people are very pleased with just downloading their games.
But is it like impossible to find? Is there a resale issue like we're having with the PS5 where people are scamming you?
I haven't read anything, but I'm almost positive.
Yeah, I'm sure there's similar things going on, but I think the PS5 is more the system in demand.
Okay.
Like, the Xbox isn't as in demand as with the PS5.
I was thinking about that today, because every day on the morning show we're covering more of these PS5 scam stories. And I'm like, I haven't heard anything about the new Xbox in that same vein. And it's also, you know, sometimes the news isn't here to inform. It's here to follow trends and make money. So maybe, you know, there was a lot of clicks on a story about a PS5 scam. So that's the only one that they follow up on, maybe, because that could be it, too. Gotcha. But I was just curious if you guys had heard anything about that, because it's been all crickets as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, even somebody in the Twitch chat here is saying they can't find an Xbox anywhere. It's just as hard to get.
Were you doing that whole so you could play the crickets thing?
No, I said the word crickets and remembered I had
and
a cricket
like,
sound.
Hey, I've got crickets.
So I kept trying to make sounds long enough for me to reach over and find it and go.
No, I just wanted one of those Xboxes like we talked about last week so I can play all my emulators on it. Because it's supposed to be super good at it. But that's all I've got for this week's Nerd Radio, you guys.
Cool.
So
good.
I mean, unless you want to talk about some Transformers or something, because there's always new Transformers news to talk about.
Where did it go? Where did it go?
No.
All right. All right. That's fair. So make sure you're following us on social media at Nerd Radio 101.
Oh, no!
Make sure you check us out in the Checkpoint XP studios Wednesday afternoons around 11:30. And download, rate, and review the podcast wherever you're getting it. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network.
No way.
Thank you for using more buttons than us tonight.
It's funny. He sits on those all show.
Yeah.
And as you're trying to wrap it up, he's telling people not to do all these things we need them to do.
No way.
And it was awkward for everyone.
Yes.
All right. Have a good one. Enjoy the Game Awards. If you haven't already watched them, enjoy this week of wrestling. Hopefully it'll be just as exciting as last week. And we will talk to you next week.
NerdRadio101.com. Go to it. I spent money for it.
I'm in a difficult situation.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
Half the time we're too quiet, the other half we're too loud.
We have similar issues.
No one's ever told me I was too quiet before.
You're too quiet, Al.
We have similar issues when we record Checkpoint National.
Can you fire it up a little bit, Al?
Not your boner, Al.
Fire up your boner,
damn
Al.
It.
Fire away.
The Twitch stream wants to see it.
That'll get us banned. Don't do that, Al.
Yeah, don't do that.
Say that on your own OnlyFans channel.
Oh, the whole boner? It's all bad. What about the tip? Is the tip all right?
I hope your tips are put away because we're on camera now.
All
right. Oh, cover my tips.
Yeah. How about that tip right there?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.